Welcome to today's episode for people interested in the extraordinary, yet ancient and often long forgotten stuff. This is your host, Joseph Schinwald from ownbythebeach.com. Our guest today is Lois Kramer-Perez. Hello, Lois.
Hi, Joseph. Thank you for having me today.
Well, it's a pleasure to have you, and I'm very honored. Our topic for the show is how feng shui is so much more than where you place your sofa. Lois Kramer-Perez is the queen of the shui. She is the go-to expert when you are ready to receive passionate relationships, a peaceful home, and a life you love. Her popular programs, Feng Shui, Your Space and Your Soul, Neurotransformational Clearing Meditation Circle, and Take a 30-Second Vacation with Lois, teach people to use these tools daily to manifest sustainable change in their lives. Lois is a published author and master teacher for Conscious Design Institute. Lois has appeared on the Dr. Joy Show, BronxNet TV, and Family Today programs. Ready to unleash the possibilities and bring your dreams to life, Lois has the right method for you. So Lois is a certified practitioner in Feng Shui, hypnosis, past life regression, NLP, and energy, all certified. Amazing. Clearing. Lois merges these methods to create energy clearing. Lois merges these methods to create the unique program for sustainable change. Today's topic again, we are talking about Feng Shui. In your chapter, Lois, I come now to the first question. In your chapter of the book, Tips, Tricks, and Techniques from Today's Experts for You and Your Business, you wrote chapter 15, The Feng Shui Breakthrough. And I read in there, our most powerful relationship is with ourselves. As we become comfortable in our own skin, our confidence rises. We are powerful, our distractions clear, old perceptions melt away. We find our blocks begin to release as we begin to move forward. Now, can you tell us more about the Feng Shui Breakthrough?
Yes. So I never expected that I would be doing what I'm doing today. I call myself that the unexpected feng shui lady. But different things happen in your life that lead you places that you don't expect to visit. And these are the times in your life where you find the most amazing gifts. So in the book, in chapter in the book, I talk about how I had the greatest job in the world. I was married. Life was great. Traveling around the world. I was looking forward to spending the rest of my life with my husband. And then very suddenly he died. He had a heart attack and he didn't survive. And then everything changed. And I found myself looking for something. And I just kept looking. I didn't know what it was, but I knew I couldn't stay the way I was. It just wasn't working. And that's when I first found Reiki, which led me to the feng shui, which led me to the energy clearing, which led me to realize that I have the power within me all the time. It's like in The Wizard of Oz, when she comes to the end and clicks her heels and they said, oh, you had the power to go home all the time. You just had to find the key. But if you don't know, how can you find it? So that's why being open to see the different opportunities out there are really powerful. And I found the feng shui was so transformational because it showed me how to combine my space, my thoughts, and the things that I could control, and to look at the energy around me, in whether it's where I put my sofa, objects I had in front of me, or the people I spend time with, the thoughts I spend time with. Everything is one complete picture. It's not about separating one from the other. So learning about feng shui. So feng shui translated into English means wind, water. The wind represents the energy in our space we can't see, but we know it's there. And the shui represents the things in our physical space that we can see. So we're marrying the concept of what we can see and what we can feel. And I like to say that your space is always having a conversation with your subconscious. It's time to get involved. because we know from neurosciences that our brain cannot distinguish between a memory or if it's happening in real time. So the things in our space that we place there have a connection to how we feel and how we think. But very often we forget what that is after we put it there. And as we come into our home day after day after day, we have created this imprint. And we're getting a message all the time. Very often we discard where the message is coming from and we decide, oh, well, I'm just tired today because I had a long day. Or I don't know why I'm so annoyed. You're so annoyed because your door works and you haven't paid attention to put that WD oil in the handle. And every day you come in, you're annoyed because the door sticks, but you don't think about it. You're in a hurry to get in the house or drop your packages or do something else. And you're not realizing a simple shift in how you enter your space can change the experience. And then your body already decides before you get there how you're going to experience that next action. And you've already set the tone. So why not set the tone where you can be in a calm and peaceful place rather than a distracted, impatient place?
Yes, it's interesting that you are seeing the relationship between, I would say, consciousness and unconsciousness almost as the space, the unconsciousness, the space that you put things there and you forget it. But it influences you, of course. And the space is, I would say, infinite. Your own space is infinite. Obviously, we all have our own space. So that is because we are time and space. I'm in Austria. You are in New Jersey. So, but still, it's infinite. And we often overlook that we put everything there in that space, and that the space itself, I believe, is often overlooked, just like in music. The most important thing in music is the pauses in between the notes, isn't it?
Yes, very good point. And the other thing that we learn in feng shui about our space, that there are different areas in our space that relate to different parts of our life. For instance, things that we put on the lower levels, in basements, on the floor, are relating to our past. Things in the mid-level, you know, where we can see them, are present. And closets in the top levels of our homes, whether there's an attic, a top floor, the top shelf in a closet, for instance, are the future. So we want to think about what's hanging over your head. Do you have your past in your future? And that was something I realized. I had my past in my future. I had a closet where I had my office. And on the very top shelf, I had wedding invitations and menus from my wedding in 1985. Well, when I realized this, it was 2005. I wasn't sending those wedding invitations out ever again. And they were taking up space for opportunity in my future. So when I was ready to take them down, I went through them. I kept one of each, stuck one in my wedding album, which I kept in the basement on a shelf in my past. And I left that top shelf open for opportunity. So now what I'll store there, I might have gifts. I might have something seasonal, some beautiful gift boxes ready to put something in to give to someone, and always a little extra space to leave room for things that I'm not even aware might be coming my way.
Interesting. In fact, you know, time is very relational, as we know, particularly in Tibetan Buddhism. They speak about absolute relativism. Everything is relational. Everything relates to the present moment. So when we think about the future, or when we have these memories, it's really an abstraction of the mind. And it sometimes prevents us from living in the now. Even though, you know, particularly in business, you have to make your plans, and you want to also remember some beautiful things from the past, but we should always know that it comes from the present moment, these memories.
Right. Absolutely. And learning to be present is a lifelong study. And each time we get a little closer, it's like, ah. And then we find that we can get even closer. So what I learned with feng shui, I learned how to use the present to enjoy what was happening. I remember as a teenager going to the Broadway theater and sitting watching a show. And my mind was so busy, I couldn't focus on what was happening. I kept thinking about something else. And I looked around and I thought, gee, I wonder if everybody else is having this same problem, you know, thinking about so many things. And then as I learned about feng shui and the energy clearing and all the reading Lao Tzu, Buddhist works, the I Ching, all of these philosophies combined, I learned how to manage my thoughts in a different way, that I could be present, that I wasn't always spinning thoughts in my head. And as I looked around my space, I noticed there were things that would create a spinning, you know, certain decor that came with my house that I just ignored. Oh, I'll get to it one day. I had crazy foil wallpaper in the entrance to my home. And there was a big mirror on the wall. I'd come in and my head would be spinning, but I decided I won't pay attention to that anymore. Once I changed that, feng shui taught me to pay attention to how you feel. The first thing you see is so important. So when I would come into my home, the first thing I saw felt like, ah, as opposed to woo. And then I could forget about paying attention to it because my subconscious was already giving me what I needed. I already programmed my space to talk to my subconscious when I wasn't paying attention. So I can be more present by just enjoying the moment rather than being distracted and choosing to blame it on something external, right? Yeah. Because these external things I find are just actually giving us messages to pay attention and to make a decision.
Nice. Yeah, actually, the moment itself is supposed to be empty from time. Yeah, because
yes,
the eternal moment, the now, it's beyond time. It's also you know, in China, that ancient Chinese wisdom, they have this metaphor about the potter and the clay. And it's very different from the Judeo-Christian tradition, which I also study and which I, of course, also like a lot. But there in ancient China, it's more like the pot and the clay. The clay, the pot makes out of clay. The usefulness is what really is the valuable thing. It's the empty space in the pot. That is the metaphor for this emptiness. And the emptiness, as you say, in the room and everywhere, when you know how to remove the blocks and when you know how to design it and to put the sofa the right way, you know, that's not that you feel that you use the emptiness the right way. So it reflects your own thoughts and your own personalities and the way you want to be stimulated from your subconscious. Then I think you do it the right way. I think the usefulness is emptiness, and emptiness is the usefulness. For me, the best place in a house for me is the terrace outside. I'm not, now in Austria, I don't have that, but when I'm in Costa Rica, it's the terrace outside where there is a swimming pool, and then I see the ocean and the beach. But that's pure emptiness. You know, at night you see the sky, and when there's full moon, it reflects in the ocean. But that is what we often oversee, that we want to always fill everything up. The same way we want to fill up our minds and even our thoughts, the usefulness of the mind is really also there where it's empty. It sounds strange, but it is.
Absolutely. And what's the beauty of feng shui, it allows you to have that pause, that quiet time to be empty and enjoy the moment, because you don't have the external distractions sending out all these other messages. There, you have everything in its place to allow you to breathe, to just be and enjoy just sitting. And even if I can't be at the beach, I love that vision that you just shared of that sitting on a terrace and looking outside. I can go back to the times when I sat at the beach, when I spent a month in Mexico and I could sit out on the terrace or walk on the beach at any time, or visiting different Caribbean islands. I can go back there in my mind and quietly just enjoy those moments and be. And it's important to have a space to allow you to be that comfortable, to just let go, to just breathe and let go and let your mind take you. So for me, I always thought meditation meant to try to empty my mind, but doing something thinking I had to go somewhere was preventing me from getting to that place, finding my way to get into a quiet space and let my imagination be free was the way that I could find that space of in the moment and being in the now.
Fascinating. And you have this meditation, the 30-second journey with you. And I went through some interviews on your website. By the way, I will have this in the show notes. And your website, of course, is luiskramerperez.com. And there is a clearing meditation class. There is free guided meditations. And there are events and more classes and other interviews, just to say it, but it will be in the show notes. But I went through this one meditation with you before we even saw each other now on Zoom. And it was about Om. It was like about it, Om. It was about the beach. And I felt the energy in my toes everywhere. Very effective. And only 30 seconds. Amazing. You have something like you have the bells here. Can we do it?
Oh, these bells?
Yeah, it only takes 30 seconds. The beach meditation.
Yes.
Beautiful. What kind of, because the listeners can't see the bells, what kind of bells are they?
These are brass tingsha Tibetan bells, or they're called cymbals. So there's a leather string with a cymbal on each side, and I guess they're about 3 inches each. And these are the introduction to sound healing. When you have a natural material such as brass, or traditional people may use wood sticks or different crystals, and you create the sound and hear it again using the brass metal tincture bells or cymbals. You create a frequency in your environment, and it actually begins to clear the space. And sound healing actually connects with the frequencies of the person. And I like to say that sound healing is energetic vitamin C. You don't have to know what you need or where it has to go. The frequency knows what your body requires. And just ring the bell or play the bowl, and magic can absolutely happen.
Nice. It's metal is also one of the five elements which are a very important part of your feng shui practice. I think now would be a good time to talk more about it. I think the five elements, they come already into the teachings by the I Ching, the Book of Changes, ancient book of divination of China, used already before Lao Tzu and before Confucius. And many practices such as Tai Chi and Qigong, traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, also have been influenced by the five elements. So I believe my element would be probably wood, because my name is Xinwald and Wald means forest. So, but I learned something about your metal on your website, and that's metal. Your element, that is metal. Could you tell us a little bit more about the five elements and how they relate to feng shui, your practice?
Absolutely. And learning about the five elements was such a momentous moment for me. Because everything came together. Learning about the five elements, they're not only in our space, they're in the person. And the five elements, for me, are the foundation for all feng shui, because we look at the five elements in our space, in the person, we use the elements in our calculations and all our methods for looking at astrology of our space, astrology of the person. There are the foundation. And they relate, as you said, to traditional Chinese medicine, acupuncture, and all the philosophies, all are steeped in the foundation of these five elements. And the beauty of the five elements is they all come from nature. So once you understand the principle, I find it a very easy way to continue to connect and remember them. So the first element we'll talk about in the five elements is water. And water connects with winter and midnight. And this is the element of dreamy, of floating, deep thinking, and looking at the water as the abyss. So with water, it's flowing, it's floaty energy. And the time
unconsciousness, of consciousness in native Indian traditions, it's always symbolized. I learned that from Joseph Campbell. Water is always symbolized with the unconscious. Anyway, just to say something, I thought that maybe you would agree. Well,
there is a connection to the unconscious because water is a conductor of information. So if you think about water, how it moves through our body, if you think about water, how we connect with information in all our devices, the electromagnetic fields. Look at Dr. Emoto's studies with the miracles of water, how he used his microscope to look at water crystals, and the water crystals that had the words or prayers on them, beautiful, I love you, were magnificent snowflakes. And the water crystals that had words of disgust and hate were deformed and broken. So it shows the power of water, how in our bodies, connecting to our thoughts, connecting to how we think about people, speak to people, what are we transmitting? And he even showed the electromagnetics of our laptops and phones and iPhones and texting and all that stuff can transmit those frequencies. It's important when we think of water to be mindful how we're thinking, how we're speaking, and the words we type. They used to say for people that did telephone sales, be sure that you're smiling when you're on the phone, even if the people can't see you. Well, that really was brilliant because it connects to our energy. So water is a very important part of feng shui because it's a very valuable commodity. We cannot survive without water. And before we had airplanes and trains, all commerce was done on the water. So yeah. In feng shui, when we look at water in our bathrooms, in our sinks, wherever water is, if we have leaks that are dripping in our pipes, the metaphor is, oh, well, you're dripping money unnecessarily. Take a look and see what you're doing. Are you spending money without thinking? Are you not paying attention to things that need to be addressed and water, your money's just going down the drain? And the other metaphor is if the water has clogs, if the water is not moving down the drain, if it's stuck and you keep having water sitting there stagnant, is there something that you haven't completed to generate your income? What are you doing that is preventing the money from coming in? So these Yes. metaphors give us little triggers to take a look at ourselves and what we're actually doing in our life.
It makes perfect sense because, first of all, we also consist mostly of water.
Yes.
That's where the information is probably, right?
Yes.
And then in Taoism, there are really three branches. One is the philosophical Taoism, Lao Tzu, Chuang Tzu. And then there is the Taoism you were talking actually about, which is the energy, the qi element. In Hinduism, it's the prana. And I wrote an article about the prana, which you wrote. I read that article on your website, very interesting, the breathing, the energy, the chi. And then the last one is that is about vitality. It's all about vitality programs. It's all about increasing the energy. The philosophical Taoism looks at the energy as something which has to be optimized, like the balance sheet of your business. So you're looking at the cost. If you can cut down costs, this is good because then your profit goes up, right? But a vitality school of Taoism looks more like in marketing. How can I increase sales? How can I increase my energy, right? And then there's the philosophical Taoism, the religious Taoism, sorry. The religious Taoism is all about the getting a hold of the cosmic energy. In other words, there we go into shamanism, we go into priesthood, and it's making it popular for all kinds of people. So I think in the philosophical Taoism, what I just wanted to mention now is the elements, the first element, we talked then about the other four, water, it's the perfect metaphor for the philosophical Taoism of Lao Tzu and Chuang Tzu, which is all about that flow, the flow, and not obstructing it, not forcing it. Wu Wei, the non-action. You go with the water. Even Bruce Lee, talks about it. Be like water, right? So now, sorry, I let you talk because we still have a lot to talk today.
Yes, yeah, so water is that beautiful element of just being. So when I think about how I would describe water in the five elements, to be, to just be. And we look at areas in our Bagua using the map of our space. So we talk about the Bagua, which is a map that is created into sections to look at different areas of our space as it relates to our life. So Ba in Chinese translates to 8, Gua to section, which is why we have Ba Gua. There are 8 directions. And in the center, we have our Tai Chi, which is a yin yang. Without one, we can't have the other. So it's the culmination of all the forces. So in the area of the water element, it relates to our life journey. How effortlessly is your life moving? Flow like water, be like water. A person that has water element in their nature will be more of a dreamer, a thinker. You'll ask them a question, they will take time to answer. They're not going to give a quick answer. And if they're pushed too much, they might freeze. So the water is in our space, it's in our person, in expressions, it's in everything. And understanding how to connect with this energy of water is really beautiful. It gives us the ability to flow, to go with the flow, as they say. And I love how all of these words and phrases I've heard throughout my whole life all come back to the five elements. It all makes sense. So after winter and midnight, we have early morning and springtime. And the water will feed the trees so they can grow. So the second element is tree. Now, very often you'll see this referred to as wood in a lot of the traditional feng shui books. Even in Chinese acupuncture, the five element acupuncture, they refer to it as wood. However, two of my feng shui teachers refer to it as tree because this actually is the one element in our five element system that has a life of its own. It's alive. You plant the seeds and it grows. Trees are alive. So that's why I refer to it as tree. Now, the water feeds the tree so it can grow. Early morning, springtime, it's going, it's doing, it's adventure, it's life. It's the boom of thunder, or it could be the gentleness of the wind, because we have two versions of this tree element. And this is represented in our space by using actual plants and bringing life inside, especially when you have a space where there are no windows. Put a plant or a tree in the room, and all of a sudden things start to come alive. And there are many plants that survive beautifully, that actually thrive without light. They just need a little TLC, a little bit of water every so often. So bringing that nature into your space can really help you feel alive.
It's trees made of wood, they say in philosophy, and Oriental thought would probably disagree because trees are not made of wood. It's like an abstract word, wood. Trees are just part of everything else. And they're just like we happen to be people, trees happen to be trees. But you know, we are not made of what we are just who we are. And so trees, that's the alive part. That's an element. What is alive?
So the next element is, and the color for tree element is green. So you bring up a very good point. Trees are not made of wood. When we look at the element for the tree, we look at the color green because that is vibrant life. And that's the color associated with the element of the tree. And the trees feed the fire so it can burn. After early morning and springtime, we have summer and noon. And fire is all about excitement, drama, our passions, recognition, reputation, motivation, inspiration. So fire is represented by eclectic and dramatic objects. It can be shapes of a pyramid like a flame. And it's what gives us the fun and frolic and whimsy that is important for us to have in our life, to keep things interesting. They say when you are bored, or if you feel like your fire has gone out, get curious about something, learn something new, find something fun. What are you curious about? When you're curious, all of a sudden your energy, your chi picks up, right? You're looking up when you're curious. You're looking to find something to inspire you. So fire is a great element to bring in to help motivate and ignite your flames.
It must have been a huge event when humans found out about the fire the first time. In India, actually, in the Vedas, which contains the Upanishads and the Bhagavad Gita and all this, in the Vedas, the first gods, if not the first now, I'm just reading a book by Kaplan, Philip Kaplan, about world wisdom tradition. And it says that Agni, the god of fire, was one of the first ones, if not the first one. I mean, I don't know exactly. I have to reread it, but he's surely a very, very important god in India, Agni. And I think fire, even for the evolution of humankind, is amazing. I mean, that's where it all started. I mean, that's where it all started, the whole technology, you know.
Yeah. And fire also gives us the clarity to see what's in front of us. They say when we look at the 9-year cycles in feng shui, they also follow the five elements. When we're in a fire year, or a person is in their fire year in their own astrology system, it's a time when the lights are on. So not only is the person able to see very clearly what is important for them, they become in the spotlight and everything is revealed. So fire is a great element to support revealing information, to turn on those lights and to really get clear.
Interesting. So the next element is?
The next element is earth. So earth. After fire, the time of summer and noon, we have this pause that it's around 3 p.m. If you ever find that your body just wants to take a moment, take a 30-second vacation with me. You need a little nap. That pause I find in August, in between the seasons of summer and autumn, there's a pause in the energy. It doesn't quite feel like the season is over and the other one is beginning. It's a settling in. And the earth is a time of settling in. It's a comfort. It's a time of pause. And the ashes from the fire actually nourish the earth. So here I'm showing you this supporting cycle of how the elements are all working together. And earth is about comfort. So to have a comfortable space in our home where we can feel safe and supported is important. And depending on our own elements, some of us may like big overstuffed furniture and lots of pillows and throws to snuggle in. And others might be comfortable sitting in a chair, and that's all that they need. So finding your individual comfort zone is important, but it is important to have this feeling of safety and this earth element in your space.
It is so simple when you listen to it. Also, in Chinese traditions, the language is fantastic. It's very ambiguous. You cannot really argue because you can see it this way or that way. The yin and yang, I mean, how complicated can you make? It means the sunny and the shady side of the mountain. So the five elements remind me of it. I don't know much about it. So the first time I really learn about it more in depth, and it's super interesting. So that brings us to
The fifth element is metal. So the minerals from the earth create the metal. And now after that pause in the afternoon, or that time in between summer and autumn, we come to the time of autumn where things are refining. They're coming to a close. They're getting clearer. So metal is the element of meticulous, of precision, of refinement. And metal is clean, less is more. Metal is a great element to bring in when you need focus. If you're working on a project, bring in your metal element, clear the decks, only use what you need, have things precise and clean. And people that are meticulous have a lot of this metal element. So you might come into a home and see everything is all monochromatic, very whitened colors, very pale, almost tinted pastels, not lots of structure, very clean, sleek lines, almost a very modernistic approach. The kitchens would be all white or just stainless steel with not much on the counters. This very clean space of meticulous metal energy. And of course, the colors for metal would be all the metallic colors and very whitened pastels and very clean. It's a very clean, specific energy, all about precision.
So what happens when a metal personality like you and a wood personality like me come together? Like now, is there
any very coherence? Interesting. So we look at the interaction of the elements. So a wood person and a metal person, the metal person might refine the wood person just a little bit. And if the metal person is a little too aggressive, the wood person or tree person might feel as if they're getting chopped down. So it's important to understand relationships of how people express. So a tree or a wood person is someone who likes adventure. They're risk takers. They're early morning. They're go, go, go. It's all about action. And don't push their patience, because they have, if they have the thunder, the three tree element as their predominant, they may lose their patience because that's their vulnerability. And the key for the tree people is to learn patience. And very often the patience is related to time, the element of time. What I've learned in the area of our space, which is a tree element, the Southeast Fortunate Blessings, our most valuable element in our life besides breath and our bodies is time, how we relate to time. And if you give your time away, you'll get back 100 times more than you could even imagine. So very often when we are in a place of losing our patience, if we are in the belief that there's not enough time, we waste so much of it worrying about all the time we don't have. If we would just give some away and do something generous and take a breath and give it back, we get even more time than we can imagine.
Interesting. Well, I tell you, I'm quite certain now that I'm a tree person, because I cannot work for somebody. I have to have always my own business, because I always feel that I get chopped down, you know. when I have my own business, I can be even like the useless tree, because the useless tree is really in Chinese stories. From Zhuang Zi, for instance, there is this story about the useless tree. It's actually not a useless tree, because it's the one which doesn't get cut down, because people think it is useless, that the branches go in all ways, and nobody wants that tree. It's a useless tree, right? But he says it's a very useful tree, because it gives you shadow. And the best part of it, and that's typical Taoist philosophy, nobody cares. Nobody will chop it down. Nobody will cut it, because it looks so useless.
Right. However, I wanted to bring up a very important point. We typically will express three elements in each of our nature. Very often, there are three elements. There's our inherent nature, our emotional element, which may be hidden. It may be what we don't show to others unless we are under stress or we feel very safe. And then the element is other people see us. And depending on the combination and our makeup and our expressions and our physicality, we may be able to use these different elements at different times. But typically, there may be a driving element for certain situations. So when I look at the astrology of a person, not only do I look at their birth date, I look at their features, and I even look at through the Chinese animal archetypes. We have four pillars of elements where we have Chinese animal archetypes and elements connected to them and branches and stems. It goes deep, deep, deep. We can really start to look at, in a very refined way, the different layers of what our makeup is and how we can use every part of ourself to really thrive. And And what happened for me is I realized, learning about these five elements and the different expressions that were just part of me, that I wasn't crazy. I was always trying to be like everybody else, thinking that my way was not the correct way. And when I found out my way of being me was absolutely correct, it was such a relief to just allow myself to be myself. And I think you read in the chapter that I wrote, I talked about the bedroom set, how I thought I had to buy a bedroom set when I got married. And I looked and looked and I could never find a bedroom set that I liked, but I kept looking. And 19 years later, I realized, oh, I'm not a bedroom set kind of a girl. I can just go out and buy a bed and then I can buy some end tables. And a year later, I'll buy a dresser. And that was exactly who I was. So every time I get stuck and I am not moving forward, I stop and I say, wait a second, I'm not a bedroom set kind of girl. What am I doing that is not in my own nature? Am I going down a path that's not aligned with me? Maybe it's time to take a breath, take a step back and do things the way I naturally want to do them, rather than expecting to be like someone else or as I thought it was supposed to be.
Yes, Lois. And, you know, I just recently took a test. It was a book, and it was Sally Hogshead, her name. Maybe you have heard about it, How to Fascinate. And I did it because I have a service business, so I need to know how I fascinate, right? And so there are all these archetypes of personalities. And I'm a catalyst. I have passion and innovation. I'm sure you can relate this to the elements, to a combination of these elements. And but what I'm saying now is that, you know, why do we do these things? We really get a test, whatever, you know, because we really want to get to know ourselves. It's so, we have often such a blind spot. We see everything else, but when we look at ourselves, and it's true, I mean, you know, we can see the eyes when we look in the mirror, but when you look behind the eyes, it's all dark, you know, and that is the most important thing. That is us. It's all darkness. It's all space, right? But how to get to know it? And that's where we can really take advantage when we get to know each other with this kind of old systems also, like you are teaching, that we then can become more of who we are. And then we don't have to compete with the other person. We cannot compete with the other person because the other person is really different.
Absolutely.
So the key is to get more of the good stuff, which you already are. But first, of course, become aware of it. And that's what I was reminded now when you talked.
If it's happening live. And before you open your eyes, whatever imprint you've created, your body will remember and it will already start giving you that feeling. So bedrooms are so important. You want to be able to get a good night's sleep. And when you open your eyes, what do you see? Do you see something pleasing? Or do you see a pile of papers that you forgot to file? Did you leave your laundry that you didn't put away? And when you see that laundry, does it feel like work? And all of a sudden you're tired before you wake up. So you want to have the first thing you see to be pleasant and giving you the message that you desire. So in your office, you want to be without distraction. You only want to have things right at your hand that you need for the moment. Things that are in the way can create a big distraction. And then you're spending time looking for something, annoyed about something. Keep it simple. Just pay attention to the very first things. Create your fabulous first and you're well on your way. Because now you are having that conversation that your space has been screaming to your subconscious. Now you're getting involved. You're deciding on how you want to feel. You're deciding the messages that you want to have when you're not consciously aware. So you're layering in all the fabulous feng shui based on who you are and what you need.
Very nice, very nice. I think that's a very nice conclusion to our podcast. It was awesome. Thank you, Lois, for having been on the show. It was a real pleasure and learning experience. And I thank guest experts for listening in. So thank you, Lois. Thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Joseph, for having me. This was a great experience. I love getting to know you and how we have such wonderful common interests together between our philosophies, and it all comes together, right? Like the Wu Wei. It's all as simple as that.
Yeah, I'm all Wu Wei. So the recap of the show with bullet points. are in the show notes with all the links mentioned during the interview on ombythebeach.com and also in my Facebook group, On By The Beach. If you like this podcast, please subscribe to have you here again for our next episode. So this is your host, Joseph Schinwald. Thank you and goodbye until we meet again.